Blog Talk Radio.
My Thursday, tomorrow's my Friday, and I am so super excited about tonight. The man, the myth, the eighth wonder of the world, Ahura Z. Deliza, is going to be on my show tonight. And I just want to bring up once again, with rules on my show, I do ask that if anybody does call in, please do not mention anything about sexual orientation, politics. I want my show to be a happy, positive, you know, happy-go-lucky type of show. And it's about dreams and love and life and happiness. My dream is to work with Jackie Chan. What is yours? Because I want to know and I want to have you on my show. Whoa, it looks like I have a call already. Could this be the man himself? Let's just see. Hold on for one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Shelley.
I see.
Hey, how you doing?
I am so super excited. I knew you were going to ask that. Even though I'm not a telepath, but I am your little sister, so. I am so excited to have you on the show tonight because since I've been talking to people so many years about you, I finally have you on my new show. So now people can hear from the man himself, you, the legend, the myth, Ahura Z. DeLisa, yay, live on my show.
Wow,
and I like them. You know.
I'm the legend.
Yes, you
pretty
are.
Big.
Well, in my eyes, you are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you're like a person I look up to, so of course in my eyes, and I think quite a rather few people do too, look up to you. And I mostly talk, you know, about the films and such, but I want people to know about the other side of you because, you know, people ask me, and I've mentioned to you that, you know, I don't do the hauntings. I'm not in, you know, I'm not a telepath and metaphysical, but they tend to think, because I call you my brother, that I know about these things, and I think this would be a good time for you to talk a little about and explain to people out there, and if anybody calls in out there, to let you know, all listeners, my telephone number to call in to ask you a question is 877-907-7217, and I do ask people to respect, you know, the show. If not, you will be disconnected immediately. Anyway, Z, would you like to tell the listeners more about yourself?
Well, let's think. Well, first off, the reason that they probably think that you know something is because you can't hang around with a person like me and not know something, because I'm always in one way or another. So when it comes to things of a paranormal nature, it's not an act for me. It's not something that I decided one day that I was going to grab a little camera and start taking pictures, hopefully, of ghosts or things. This is my life. I've always been this way. You mentioned the telepath. Well, the telepath is a little different from a psychic. Not much different, but different enough. I don't depend on energy impressions or things like that. And some of the psychics that I know that are very, very good psychics, you don't do that either. So when it comes to things of a paranormal nature, you're talking about dealing with spirits, ghosts, all manner of things. It's been my life, and I don't really think about it as paranormal so much as it is just a normal way of life for me. You know, and you're always around me, so they're going to think that, oh, well, you know, he's your brother. Do you know this? And some things you know because I've taught you. And other things you don't know, but don't pretend you know absolutely nothing. Remember, I live in an old funeral home, and you visit it all the time. So, you know, and you have
I know.
Especially when it comes to, you know, people who have come here to film and they've seen things and not been able to understand them and ran screaming out the door, you know. But remember, being a telepath is not something that is, I suppose you can call it extraordinary, but it's not something that is unheard of. There are many telepathic people around. I myself am a telepath that has been formally trained by someone that was better than me. And then I learned to hold my skills, hold my gifts, so, and keep myself grounded. So this is what I do, not only for a living, but it's my joy to do it, to help people. You know, I've done exorcisms, if you want to call them that, and it's really interesting because people always think of movies when they hear the word exorcist or they hear the word exorcism, but there's so much more that goes into it. You can't just because you're having a bad day think that you're possessed by a demon or think that someone else is possessed by a demon because they had a bad day. There's some very specific things that go into being possessed, you know. But throughout my life, I have learned to deal with these things and help people and educate them at the same time. Now, one day when I decided to do movies, and, you know, it's a long story as to why I decided, but let's just say it's because of a family member that was insulted by one of the movies that Hollywood put out. And that has been my motivation for creating and doing film. And when we met you, we saw someone that was very, when I met you, I saw someone that was very, very positive, very interested in doing what it is they really wanted to do in their life, and that was film, and motivated to be in film. And I have to say that I've never quite met anyone that has been so entirely interested in Jackie Chan, you know, and I know that man is very, very talented, and he's very phenomenal and does a lot of things to help people as well. So you didn't pick a bad person to want to work with. You picked a great person to want to work with, and I knew that you'd meet him one day, and I think it's rather funny that so many people did not believe that you would meet him or even get attention from him, and now when you're one of his friends.
Yeah. It kind of like you were the first, one of the first persons, the couple things that I'd like the viewers to know, and I think everybody has heard or read me talk about this, you know, when a lot of people were so against, you know, about me even just wanting to meet Jackie on the stuff, because in reality, even though he's a superstar, he's just a person. And you, when I told you things, it was kind of like you knew, but it was kind of like I didn't believe you. Like, oh, you know, it'll happen and so many other things. And even the first time when your daughter Kazi did a contest, it was the first contact we kind of had with Jackie. And it was kind of like, it was just like I didn't believe it. And you said, it'll happen. So when if things started becoming positive, it just blew my mind. I was like, how do you know? And you just like, I just know. And it was just a wonderful thing. And another feeling was when no one else gave me a chance in the world where I wanted to do a fight scene. And you were like, ah. But then when you said, you know, in Anna Cree that I was going to fight you, I was excited and scared at the same time. I was like, really? And it was just something that I talk to people all the time. And for what, you know, you've given to me and chances, I keep trying to help people and try to help them positive. So I think what we're doing is like a domino effect and a chain reaction. So, you know, to me, to work with you on a film set is just as important as if I was working with Jackie Chan. I mean, that's the way I see it. And I feel blessed to be able to work with you. And you're just one of those things where I had asked God, you know, I wish I had a brother, and he listened, and you came in my life. And I feel so honored and blessed to call you one of my big brothers, and it does make me happy.
And I'm equally as honored. Although I do think you're a dark fish, but that's what...
Yeah, hey! You know, people are not going to... You're going to kind of understand... Maybe you should tell the people what a dark fish is, because they'll run through their minds.
You know, I also teach mysticism, and... how did you apply practical mysticism to your life? Because, you know, you can manifest a fireball in your hand, but if your table has no food on it, it's really no good. And, you know, people always ask me things about totem animals. And what a totem animal actually is an animal spirit guide that helps you to accomplish those things in your life that need to be accomplished and can protect you. And they have an affinity or a predilection to that particular animal. Well, I have a standard answer for someone that asks me, you know, what is my totem animal? Because I believe that that is a journey that's supposed to take. And then when they see something, they can ask me, or I'll look at them at some point in time and tell them, your particular animal is a wolf, or your particular animal is a frog. You know, it just depends. Because, you know, we have these preconceived judgments based upon what kind of animal that decides to choose us. You know, if you get chosen by a ferret, then okay, it's great. Ferrets have wonderful attributes. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you get a big bruiser of a guy that his totem animal winds up being a frog, you know. And for some odd reason, you get insulted by that. So I don't mind myself. And actually, I'm one of those big bruiser guys that has a frog totem. You know, I have others. But I kind of like my frog totem because it's my sense of humor and my resiliency and my ability to heal. Well, Shelley asked me one day, she looks at me and, you know, it's the most amazing thing. There are a lot of people that, you know, the moment that you realize that there's a telepath in the room, you kind of go, you know, ape, just kind of, oh, God, there's a telepath. I can ask him anything. But see, I'm not that type of a telepath. I might be, I mean, I'm able to see things, but I'm not the type that has a problem telling you exactly what I think. And, I've learned over the years to be a little more refined in my delivery of things and perhaps apply a little bit of humor. So Shelley looks at me, and we just finished filming. And she says, so what is my totem animal? And actually she said it more like, hey, Z, what's my totem animal? And I said, dorkfish. And she went, what? I said, a dorkfish. You know, you know. And, you know, I said, caught you with a corn dog. Unfortunately, at that particular moment, we found out that Shelley's favorite food was corn dogs. But I kept telling her, she said, no, it's not a dark fish. Yeah, it's a dark fish. I'm sorry. It's just, there's no such thing as a dark fish. And, you know, I really like comedians such as Bill Engvall. So, of course, I know that there is a dark fish.
But, so, you know, I thought you were giving around.
On her little machine, the little eye touch, So, well, iPhone. I said, no, you can look it up. So she looks it up and finds the most outrageous picture of a depiction of a dork fish. And she goes, oh, my God, it's real. And I said, I told you.
I think so when I found out, though, I screamed. I don't think I just said it. And when I saw it, it was such a weird-looking thing. And I was like, what is that? That's not real. And it freaked me out. I go, you weren't kidding. And you don't lie. And I think it happens to quite a few people when you say this. And then when you see it, it's like, you don't know what to say. You just, like, almost poop your pants where you're thinking, like, he was right. And sometimes
you're right. You know, I don't lie, but I do have a wicked sense of humor. I mean, I mess with people all the time. I mean, you kind of have to. People are so incredibly gullible. I mean, you got all of these people that think that being psychic means that they can go up to a psychic and ask the psychic in front of their boyfriend, standing right there, saying things like, oh, is he my soulmate? And me, when it comes to serious matters like that, because if you have to ask me if someone is your soulmate, I'm going to tell you no, because you really shouldn't have to ask. But there are other things where I've had people that like to go to many of these meditation classes and the meditationalists, and I've met some very good ones now, but there are some of them that really haven't a clue. They go and get some certification and think that that means anything. But they will tell people to empty your mind. Well, you can't empty your mind. That's incredibly misinformed. You can't empty your mind. What you're supposed to do is take all of the sounds that there are all around you, all of those things that you would normally call a distraction, instead of trying to battle your head emptying things, because you know you're not going to. The moment you try to do that, some little noise at the edge of the known universe will decide it wants to make itself known at that particular part and get louder and louder and louder and distract you. However, you took all of the sounds that there are in your room, in the general area that you are, and the place that you are, plus your own sounds, and you just stopped fighting them and let them be. Don't empty your mind. Fill your mind. And then make every sound that you hear, all of the thoughts, all of the noises, all of everything, one sound. Make it a part of your sound. And then there won't be any fight. You will be in the perfect place for meditation. However, there are so many people that believe that if they chant something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and remember, your mind's supposed to be empty, so you're not supposed to be able to chant anything. But if you chant something over and over and over again, and you really don't know what that thing means, you're going to acquire enlightenment. Well, I decided to cause people to acquire enlightenment, you know, and it's really simple. You have these people chant something over and over and over again. Now, remember, they don't know what they're saying most of the time because no one's bothered to explain. They just took it from one thing to the next. And I proved this one night in a class of 75 people. I had 75 people sitting in a, quote, meditation position, which I can't do. Okay, my legs don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
I have muscle in my legs, and because of the muscle or whatever my bone structure, sitting what they like to call Indian style doesn't work for me. Okay. I had these people repeating, Owa, Tegu, Siam, because I wanted to teach them something. I had them doing it. Some of them did it for as long as 15 minutes before they caught on. And then I said, you see how ridiculous this is? All you're just saying is, oh, what a goose I am. It's an old thing. I'm amazed at how many people call for such a thing. And, you know, I had to really show them that you have to know what it is that you're meditating on. You have to know what you're saying when you're doing a meditational chant. Two, you cannot empty your mind in order to chant something. You don't need for your mind to get empty. What if there's a zombie attack or something? You're sitting there with an empty mind. You know, it's really simple. You must be aware of all things, all the time, no matter what they are, and be honest enough with yourself to admit that you don't always see something, that you don't always get it, and then you'll be open to get it. So I teach people all the time, and sometimes I teach them with humor. And, of course, some people felt a little bit insulted that I would take advantage of their ignorance. And I said, look, Ed, I had to teach you. You need to know what you're saying and understand that when a person tells you something, they have to be able to do it. I don't teach anybody anything that I cannot do or have not done, period. And when it comes to teaching about totems, I know my own totems. I know what teachers before me have shown me. And I hope that people learn that just because you say a word such as totem, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to let that absorb your life. I mean, if you really believed that an animal could lead you places, then you'd really get to the wrong place, most likely food or some other thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they're dead, and then you'd become the food. You know, you really have to think about things when it comes to studying the paranormal. Now, there are things such as spirits and ghosts and angels, demons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and these things really do exist. However, one should never subject themselves to learning something from someone who hasn't learned it themselves.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times a lot of people do, like, they go on a ghost hunt and they're not even qualified. I've been watching shows and stuff, they're like, oh, I'm going to be, just go into a haunted place. And I'm like, that's practically how horror films start. And I'm like, oh, I will never go to a haunted place, even if it's
for entertainment.
Well,
you know, Shelley, you remember my experience. You remember my experience with Spike TV and the little production company, what was that, Asylum Entertainment, that decided that they were going to fly myself and Kazi down because they liked my face and they thought I was really cool. And they read my whole bio and knew that I was an actual legitimate psychic policeman and a paranormal investigator and exorcist, and they wanted to craft a whole show around me. So I met with the panel, the executive panel of Spike TV, and they had a little pitch fest thing, and I found it ironic that the CEO of Spike was a woman, and it's the big man, manly man channel.
Yeah.
Well, I found out a lot about those shows. All of them are scripted. I don't care which one that's on. They're all scripted. They all find some phony thing to put in it. And the reason that I did not do this show, and I actually found it rather insulted, because they flew us out to Hollywood, big fancy motel, met with these people, and they wanted to call my show later when they sent the contract. They were going to call it The Blaxorcist.
Oh, God.
And, I said, are you serious? Really? I said, did you not speak to me? Do I really look like someone who would do that? Well, they tried to do it sneakily, and I still have the contract, by the way. But we decided not to do that. But in going down there, we found that many of the shows that people think are so legitimate because they get called reality shows, I always knew that they were phony. I always told people they were phony because most of these people wouldn't know a ghost if it slapped them in the head. You know, but to have gone through this experience and then learned that many of the shows, the animal shows that, you know, seems like the big person is, was it man, whatever, the survival shows, they bring animals in for these people to pretend that they're actually hunting. You know, it's really quite funny. Many of the shows that we see now that people put stock in are just scripted baloney. And, you know, I'll challenge anyone to show me that they're not scripted baloney. Even associations such as TAPS know of me because I'm a loudmouth and say that they are phony, because they are. So I like to inform people of that. And if they do, and as a matter of fact, I wind up having to clean up the messes that they make. This is one show where this guy, you know, I call him Astro Boy, goes in and challenges ghosts, you know. Come on out, Mr. Big Bad Ghost. Oh, my God. I know that if one actually showed up, he would pee his pants and not know what to do. You know, so we have to inform people. I inform them all the time. Teach them how to do things. Teach them what to do. And make sure that they're doing the right thing. And then follow up with them to make sure everything is okay. And if they're not doing what I've told them to do, usually there's a follow-up from it. And I ask them, well, did you do this? And they go, oh, I forgot. Am I supposed to do it every day? Of course you are. You know? So when it comes to things, that particular thing and the shows that people like to see, listen, I know the dirty stuff. And you probably, it's great for entertainment, and we all like entertainment. But believe you me, from someone who actually lives in an actual haunted house, you know, understanding that haunted doesn't mean evil. It really means visited, if you'd like. Or, you know, there are all these stories, you know, you watch these TV shows, oh, a house can't be heard haunted, only a person can. Or the person, or one of them can only be haunted, and it's just a bunch of baloney. But educate yourself. There are things that exist that you don't get to see, or sometimes you do see, and you don't really know what you've seen. So it helps to educate people. That's what I do. And sometimes I inject humor in it because some people are really funny, like you.
Yeah. I want people to know, because people, when they tend to think of a unicorn, you know, they think of, like, little girls and stuff. Can you explain to people why you are the unicorn?
Because the universe stands for peace and justice, the symbol of strength and safety. And also, it makes sure that people's innocence is protected, and that's what I do. Remember, Jesus was a unicorn, and in my life I've striven mostly to be like him. And when it comes to the unicorn, I don't think of some fluffy little pony or anything like that. And I think of someone that is unafraid, someone that you want to be around, and someone that you want to know. The horn represents knowledge, strength, and power. And those things have been given to me by the universe. And I always tell people, if there's something that you like in me, it's not because I'm some great and wonderful person. It's because that I had good teachers, and the universe put things in me that are needed. So, the unicorn. And I really don't care what anyone thinks about it. I've had, why a unicorn? Why not a unicorn?
Yeah.
If I had a robot attack unicorn, I'd be totally stoked.
Or anything. It's really amazing too. Like that little story where you had told me, where these two women had came into your store and you did this thing. I think it was a mirror or something, and you did a unicorn, and they were like, they thought it was done by a woman, and you were just standing there going, okay, and they didn't believe that you actually did it.
Yeah, they talked. These are people from a local art college, they came in and they were admiring the beautiful plaques that I did. I did the unicorn, the phoenix, and the Pegasus, and they were giving a whole critique. Oh, so you can see her spiritual depth and how soulful she was. She really brought her soul out in these things, and I listened to them for about 5 minutes. And I just shook my head, you know, nodded my head, and listened to this, the one that was in the middle, who was the ringleader, just proliferate on things. And I said, you really like those? And they go, oh, yes. I said, I did those. It took me 5 minutes. I kid you not, they ran out of the store.
It's kind of funny. I just hear these stories because I'm around you, like on the weekends and stuff, and it's just funny, the stuff where, you know, I look at you and I see you as my brother, and it's like, you know, there's nothing that I feel afraid. I mean, I know you're like this big guy and stuff like this, and how people perceive people. I think it's like when people run away, is they're afraid of good. I really think that's what it is. When you're a positive person, you want to show people where. I think, you know, I've made mistakes
sometimes,
and stuff in my life, but
sometimes, Shelley, they just run away because they don't understand, and that's fine. That's fine. It really is no skin off my back, you know. People always believe that if you're into spirituality, if you do have telepathic ability, if you do have some number of gifts, that most of the time you have to be a woman or you have to look a certain way. But, you know, I don't look like the norm. And, you know, when people think, some people have actually thought that Uhura was a woman's name, but it's not. I'm named after a benevolent god, Uhura Mazda. And it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I've had people walk right past me and ask Sonari if she did the readings, you know, Sonari being my wife, and she goes, no. Or they walked into the store and said, oh, my God, this is beautiful in here. Did you girls decorate this? And they look and say, no, he did. You know, or the music, you know, the music that you listen to, Battle Song, which we got nominated in a huge music festival for Best New Age and Best World, they just could not believe that it was a guy that wrote the lyrics, you know. And they would think that, you know, Sonari writes the lyrics, and I couldn't possibly be that sensitive. And, you know, we need to move fast out of times like that, because I did do everything. I even wrote the notes that she sang. Okay. And it's really funny because she sings beautifully, and most times I really would just rather listen to her sing. But I write things based upon what inspires me, and she inspires that kind of music in me. So I write the songs based upon how I see her. And, you know, when I do other musical work, I write it based upon how other people sound to me. You have to understand that talent, psychic ability, telepathic ability, spirituality, mysticism, magic, does not have a gender. Okay? There is no gender code. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous to think that something that was a principle or something that was a soul involvement has a gender. My teacher always taught me men and women are equal mentally, physically, and spiritually. And as far as I am concerned, she told the truth. I mean, there is no, when it comes to mysticism and magic, and I know a lot of people would say, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's fine. That's good for you. There is no color. There is no gender. There is no sexual orientation. There is no political stance. There are people who are looking to evolve and to grow. And you know what? If you really look at things, you have to accept the reality that we all are one people. Whether you believe that if you came from someone else, that makes you different, that's ridiculous. And we need to fast. With this 21st century, we still have racial issues. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I personally see, because even with my experience where, you know, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, and people want to know about my life, and guys take an interest in me, and it's something where I'm proud to call you my big brother. To me, you are a great human being, a teacher, a director, you know, this accomplished musician, and it's like, you know, I'm happy and excited, and I'm proud to talk about you. But as soon as I mention you, guys are like, and I never hear from them again. And it's kind of like, you know, you're someone who's helped me turn my life in this positive direction. And it's something where, I mean, I think you're just this awesome human being with a great spirit. Yet, if I go to talk to you about
you're
it,
awesome
it freaks people out.
Well, and of course, it's what I said. They don't understand. But, you know, in order for me to help you turn your life around, you have to cooperate. So that makes you awesome, too. You know, the thing is that most people, if they have an agenda.
Yeah, oh, what the? Z! Uh-oh. Z, if you can hear me, give me a call back. I don't know what happened. I think your phone call I dropped, so hopefully he'll call back. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. So hopefully he's going to call back. If you can hear me, Z, make sure you call back 877-907-7217. And in the meantime, let's see what I can bring up until Z actually comes back on the phone, you know, to finish what we were talking about. I don't know. He has this great energy about him, and it's something where, I mean, if people want to come up to Unicorn Cove, you know, and come and visit it in Westbrook. And I think this is him. Give me one moment.
I told you.
Hello, is this me?
It is.
It's not me. I'm sitting here. I think it's all your great
energy.
See,
the whole world now knows that Shelly's a dork fish.
No, it wasn't me. I'm just sitting here in one spot because I have a good connection. Your phone call dropped. I'm like, uh-oh, technical difficulties.
Yeah, whatever. I know that you probably dropped your corn dog.
No, I'm not. No, not for nothing, but I'm trying to keep the cat out of my drink. It's like, I don't know what it is with you and animals. She's all excited, rubbing up against me. It must be you, because when you do your show and I have you up on the screen, she, like, looks at it, and she's purring. She's all calm on the bed. I was like, if she gets a little nuts, I should be calling you. But, hey, Z, talk to my cat. Tell her to be good.
It'd be good, Kitty. Yeah. Yeah, see,
yeah,
I told you.
Yeah, you're also a couple other things, you know, besides you know, being a telepath and stuff, and you know, competent musician. Now, you like doing films, and I feel honored to be able to work with you. What do you want to tell people about your films, about Felcare? And I've been trying to read the fundraiser to help maybe see if people would donate. What would you like to say about your film?
I am working on a tremendous film. It is an epic film. It is my first epic film. It is called Felcare, which means Valkyrie. And I've taken four different women from four different time periods, and at the moment of their death, fate snatches them to give them the opportunity to become Valkyrie and save the world, or, you know, the Earth. And I love putting women at the forefront of my movies, and as you might say, that the thing that I love the most in the world is women, you know, so I put them in the forefront of things because I admire the strength and the courage and the things they've gone through. And my teacher was a woman. And the people that have helped me most in my life have been women. And there are five of them that it's ironic there are five Valkyrie, but there are five women in my life that helped me hone my gifts, make sure that I stayed alive, and made sure that I became a valid member of and a citizen of the United States of America and the world. I owe these women my life. Therefore, I teach predominantly women. It's not that I go out and search for them, it's just this is the way that it is. People like to say that on the whole, women are more spiritually aware. I don't agree with that at all. I just think that women are easily able to express themselves, where most of us men have not really been taught that. You know, we haven't been taught to express ourselves. And when you do find a man that expresses himself, he's been called one of two things. He's very effeminate or something else that we really don't want to talk about. But that's not the case. It's just that it's okay to express yourself whether you're male or female. It's just that I had to learn much about women. And let me tell you something. I kind of ran from teaching women for years because women are kind of complicated. You know, but after I stopped running, I did, however, learn that I became more of a man by dealing with women and dealing with them respectfully. So in my films, I show that. I do not ask women to take their clothes off in my films. I find that highly offensive. I do not think that if a bad guy is chasing a woman that she's going to trip and fall out of her clothes. I think that's ridiculous. There are people who like that, and that's fine. I don't think that, you know, it would be the woman that is ditzy enough to tell everyone when there's a monster, you know, chasing, and you know that you could die at any second, oh, we've got to go back and save so-and-so, or let's split up. I think those things are ridiculous. But that's just my taste. I do not use profanity in my movies. I do not concentrate on any one race. You'll find that my movies are very unique in the way that I will put anybody in the role of any character. It just depends on whether or not they suit the role. In an example, I play Thor, God of Thunder, or God of Storms, in Falkir. Sorry, I don't have blue eyes. I'm a big guy. I'm strong. I have blonde braids, blondish beard, and I'm Maori. I can pick up a hammer. I actually have muscles. And I don't keep everyone the same color or give them all an English accent. And so, in fact, the irony is that there is one very lovely woman that's one of the Valkyr that has an English accent, and she really does have an English accent, and she's black. I use women and people from all walks of life, and if I can, I get them to speak culturally in their language, if they can. If they can't, fine. I have one woman who actually went out and learned part of her cultural language, which is Mi'kmaq. Here on the East Coast, we like to call that Mi'kmaq, but it's actually Mi'kmaq. And the tribe is a very beautiful tribe and a wonderful culture and very, very powerful and strong. But you really wouldn't know that based upon how little you see any depiction of actual Native American people in films. she learned to speak Mi'kmaq and does it very well. And you'll hear that in Fallkir. Another woman speaks fluent French. And she does it beautifully. And myself, I speak fluent slang. I do that.
Yeah.
But even Shelley being one of the Fallkir member, I chose to put you in that particular role because of your Bostonian accent, because it was for those who don't know, Shelley is kind of the Rosie the Riveter type. And she's just a big sweet brute. And she winds up being a very powerful Fallkir. The whole film is built around my wife. That would be Sonari DeLisa. And I've always seen her as a Valkyrie, just big, beautiful Valkyrie. So I wrote this whole film around her and knew that she couldn't play all of the parts of the Valkyrie. So I decided that I needed a well-rounded cast, and I have exactly that. I have some wonderful people in this film. Very, very talented people. My friends and family, of course, are all involved in the film. Kazi, my daughter, plays the part of Pele, goddess of volcanoes. And if you knew her, you would say, oh, yeah, I can see.
Yeah.
my first apprentice plays the part of Fate and does it extremely well. And it's kind of, that's how I think of her in the first place. Like I say, I write people into my films the way that they are, because that's the way that it works. This film is going to be wonderful. I am putting all of myself into this film. There'll be excitement. There'll be drama, a little bit of comedy. There'll be just fantasy. There will be action. It will be beautiful. And my film is original. I haven't copied another film. I haven't copied another film over and over and over and over again. I figure once the wind is blown, it's gone for good.
Like, because you're original, you think people are like, hey, he's original, let's give him some money. But I swear to God, I think the fact is we have to do a really stupid film because it seems like stupidity sells. It's like you're a great, fantastic writer, director, composer, everything combined in one. But it seems like nowadays it's like you have to make a stupid film to make money. And I'm like, just give Z money instead of your millions of dollars in Hollywood,
Shelley's opinion of me is quite higher than the rest of the world. I cannot say that I'm a great anything when it comes to film. I've only been involved in film for the past 4 or 5 years. I just love film, and I wanted to be able to do something that would give people positivity and not leave them with the feeling that they got ripped off after spending $25 for a DVD and seeing the same movie that was done maybe 5 years ago and then 10 years ago and then 20, I just want people to have... What I want is a giant film family. And, I can do that if I establish a place of filming that I can provide jobs for people, I can help other people realize their dreams, and I can do it without all of the politics and all of the red tape and all of the associations that tell people that they can't be in a film unless they do this or they do that. I love people of all types. I love women of all types specifically. And, when I see that they all look alike or they have to lose so much weight in order to be in a film, I find that rather offensive. A person should be able to show their talent. And Hollywood has so much money that they should be able to make that person look good on film, regardless of their size or regardless of their race or their shape or their color or their how tall they are, how short they are. I think that we all deserve the opportunity to realize our dreams, and that's exactly what I'm trying to manifest here. If there are people that want to donate, and I'm hoping that there are, I can promise you this, you will not be disappointed in this film. I've done this so far with very, very little money, and I've watched people that didn't have one-tenth of my talent get money simply because someone thought, oh, well, that's a great idea. Well, we all have great ideas. I'm just hoping that people will give me the opportunity by providing me with the fundage in order to do a beautiful movie and keep my equipment good and make sure that I can do this movie that will change the face of film. I have so many films in me, so many original films, so many new films that are in me. And people like to say, well, you know, everything, there's nothing new under the sun. Yes, there is, and it's my films. Mm-hmm. There is something new up under the sun. And, you know, the people that I work with also have new, beautiful ideas, Shelley being one of them. Her dream is to work with Jackie Chan. And, you know, I can only say this to Mr. Chan. I've always respected you in film. I have followed your career for many, many years. And you're one of those people that I admire because you don't leave someone else to do what you know that you can do. And in this case, Shelley has followed you forever. And I think that she deserves at least a chance, even if it's for just a few seconds, to be able to work with you. Now, that's just me. I understand. I'm Uhura Z. DeLiza. And I call myself, my full call is Uhura Z. DeLiza of the Holy Spirit. I'm no expert in film. I'm someone who's motivated to be an expert and to help other people be an expert. And those that are listening, send some money. I mean,
Where would you like them to donate? I know there's a couple places like the fundraiser and you, your school, if you want to say we like if they can make donations
to
the film.
You can go to www.unicorn-cove.com. You can go to the Falcure site on Facebook and receive instructions there. There's the fundraiser that Shelley's been talking about. You can go there. And my goal is to have, if I have $150,000, I can establish a brand new regime in film on the East Coast in Maine. There are those that like to think of Hollywood East. I'm not looking to copy Hollywood. I want something that is going to be on the East Coast for the East Coast and working with East Coast people, and specifically Maine, because that's where I am, okay? And I feel that if we can do this, then the attention of the film gods will be turned to Maine. And not just Hollywood. Hollywood is tired. They do the same old things. They have no new ideas. And they make themselves so far apart from us that most people don't even feel like their dreams will ever be realized. I can promise you that I will never do that. Okay? I will always make other people's dreams accessible. You know, so you send money to us, we'll use it.
I definitely know that. I mean, and when, you know, when the actors are working, you know, on your set, you make sure they eat, you know, it's other things with little tiny expenses, and also seeing that, you know, you make your own costumes, you write your own music. I mean, it's everything. Even the actors were doing like our own stunts and fights. There's no stunt doubles, and you know, working on that one fight scene on in a Korea, and you throw me around, they go, this is hard work, so we're doing everything.
Well, that was your fault, okay? Because you got all upset because you fell down, and it wasn't my fault.
Do you want to tell people about our first fight scene?
Yeah. Shelley wanted a fight scene, so I thought I'd give her the opportunity. And my being studying martial arts for the past 40 years, I had the experience to make sure she didn't hurt herself. I teach Aikido, Tai Chi, and some Taekwondo. I competed in Taekwondo tournaments and K-1 tournaments for a few years and just kind of got tired of it. I wanted to be able to teach, you know, so I figured, oh, well, here's Shelley. She's game. And, you know, most people that build themselves as being a martial artist on film are not. They have thrown a few punches and a few kicks, and maybe they picked up a sword, and they will build themselves martial artists. Well, you know, when people say that, I kind of like to take them at face value. I don't always read their minds and go, no, you're not. You know, I just kind of take them at face value and say, okay, well, you know, we're going to do this, 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 and this. They look at me like, you know, with that deer in the headlights expression. Well, I have to show Shelley some things. And she was game, so I said, okay. I said, but look, Shelly, these are, I'm going to show you some things, but you can't, like, rush too fast at me, because if you do, all I'm going to do is turn your energy back on you, and you'll wind up traveling faster than you're supposed to. And, well, we went through it so many times, and then she came, and, you know, I just tapped her. There's one point where she swings her nunchucks, and then I tap her on the behind, and she was just supposed to stumble forward. But she misstepped, and I tapped her on the behind, and then she wound up falling. And she got up all mad and came charging at me. Well, I blocked everything she threw and then just kind of took her and threw her in the other direction. Well, at that time, another cast member that was also involved in the fight was coming towards me like he was supposed to. So she winds up slamming into him, and they both fell. And I looked at her and just went, So we wound up just keeping it in the film. It was fun.
Like that whole scene, even when you were taking off your cape and you're like, hold on, I'm like, huh? It was like my little Jackie Chan moment. It was just hysterical, and I hope people get to see it because I'm like, it was just awesome. Yeah. And I have my coffee, and I don't know if I, you know that scene itself,
well,
I don't know
Cruise
if I wore out the DVD.
Honey Crew is a great film. I'm better than I was then. I didn't understand a lot. I just wanted to make film. And now after attending many tutorials and many class-like situations, I wound up getting much better. You know, there were some things I had to learn, one of them being we don't use Vista to make a film.
Oh, what?
we don't use the PC that I had. In the film, in the credits, I did take the moment to thank Microsoft for making the film extremely difficult for us to finish. Microsoft and Vista, and but we did it anyway. And then I learned a great lesson. We use a Mac. Okay.
Yeah.
And we use one more very important tool that I seem to, in all of my telepathic wisdom, to have overlooked. It was called noise reduction. One simple button. Mm-hmm. Real simple. You know, I found it, and I make sure that I use it quite frequently. You know, because it does no good to set a setting that was supposed to be many, many years ago and hear a motorcycle sound. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Falcare is going to be a wonderful film. I am planning on showing it in the, not necessarily beginning, but towards spring of 2013. So we won't let the world in because I need to show this film. And I'm hoping that all of you love it as well. Like I said, we need help. I stretch my equipment to the limit. The pictures that you see on Facebook, most of them are taken by my wife, and I take a few of them. She's really good at what she does with the photography. We use horses from many of the rescue farms. They're beautiful animals. They're magnificent animals. And people should take into consideration that when you have the opportunity to rescue a horse, you probably really should. They're not done just because someone decides they want a new one. Okay.
Hmm.
And the horses we've met, such as Cowboy. Skyloft Morgans. And many of the other horses that are from Hearts and Horses Therapeutic Riding Center. They are very beautiful people, very beautiful animals, and it would be worth your time to check them out. So,
yes, and
I have to get going because, remember, I do work for a living, and my job is dealing with people on a telepathic level. And I work very hard so that I can present a very good film, and I hope you all will help me. So it's been a pleasure being on your show, Shelly.
I feel so honored, and hopefully, you know, maybe another month or so I can have you back on because, you know, maybe some people after playing this show, you know, hearing you, you know, in person and seeing, you know, what you're more about, maybe they'll be able to hear you once again and have them call in on the show in the future.
Certainly. I'll be happy to answer any questions or things like that. If they want to know something, just ask me. You can also check us out at... like I said, Unicorn Cove School of Metaphysics. That is www.unicorn-cove.com. and you can check us out on Facebook. All you have to do is search Facebook Falcare, and you'll find us there with all of our other links. Okay? So,
all righty, Z. Thank you so much for being on my show. Yeah,
don't drop the corn dogs. I'll probably see you tomorrow anyway, either tomorrow or Friday.
Friday, are we going on a horseback riding lesson or anything on Friday?
No, not this time. But we are filming Saturday morning very early.
Early, like 6:30 in the morning?
Probably, maybe 7.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it has to be done. We have a lot of things to do.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of filmmakers out there, and I want to say this to all of the filmmakers. We all have a chance. Independent filmmaker means independent. It doesn't mean wait to be picked up by Hollywood. Okay? It means independent. That's the only way that we're going to succeed. You don't need to be Hollywood East. There's already a Hollywood, and it has failed. So let's not make ourselves like them. We can conglomerate. Mm-hmm. We can all get together. There's some very wonderful independent filmmakers that I know. There's Kevin DeBacco. There's Bill, our buddy Bill. And mm-hmm. he does Freight Train. And he's coming out with a film as well, a zombie film. I just want to say that, you know, show him his props. We all need to find our way to find each other and make ourselves a presence. Unicovia Pictures will do exactly that. Either with all of you or by ourselves, we will succeed. And if I don't do it in this life, I will be back. So let's all get together. Let's not make Hollywood East. Let's make our own film network.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Z, thank you so much. And
you're
I
very
do
welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, sweetie.
So
we'll
hopefully you'll be on the All right. You have a good night, Z.
Night-night.
All right. Bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Aurora Zakor Deliza. I actually know how to say his name. Isn't that amazing? But, I mean, you know, you heard him himself. He sounds, you know, pretty much humble, and he's very... you know, very down to earth, but he's very hardworking, and, you know, you can check him out as many places, either at the school, and I think he does classes by Skype, you know, I don't know the prices and stuff or the exact classes, but, you know, you can either call his school or contact him on Facebook or his websites and stuff, and as you heard, you'll know why now. I feel honored and so much blessed to be working with Z. And I'd like to end the show with the song Battle Song, once again, which I had opened up the show tonight. And this is actually a horror singing with his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. So everyone, have a very good night.